You. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Advisor. My name is Lisa Urbanski, co-host of the show, back today to go over some more things that keep us up at night. So, joining me today is Yara Bank. She has a podcast on our channel. She is the CEO and founder of BNX Business Advisors and has a lot of tips for executives out there who have a hard time sleeping at night. Last show, we went over numbers 1 to 5, and I'll get her to do a little recap on what those were. And you can go back and listen to them. And today we're going to cover 6 through 10. So stay tuned. Before I give her the floor, I want to thank Spreaker and iHeartRadio for your sponsorship and to our fans and listeners. Please do not forget to like and subscribe before you leave today. Yara, it's really good to see you, and I'm so glad to hear that your back is doing better. Last week your back was you were sitting there and I'm like, oh my God, poor woman. I can see the pain in her eyes.
Yeah, it was pretty bad last week, but I'm just grateful to God for just loosening it up. At least loosening it up, I can move a little bit. I can sit for a little, stand for a little. So it's getting better. Not 100%, but I'll take it. I will definitely take it over last week. So thank you
Yes.
for
Oh
that.
my gosh. This is a whole nother episode, but a lot of times women especially, we hold a lot of our stress in our lower back. And
Yes.
so that's like a sign from the universe and God saying you got to slow down or do something, change it
In
up.
this case, the sign was stretch better before karate class. That's what the sign was.
Okay. Beauty, beauty. And have you been actually practicing doing karate still?
Well, no, not since last Friday when I hurt
Okay.
myself. So I might, we'll see what this Friday brings, but not since last Friday, though. No.
I
Or it
love
was a week
that.
ago Friday, actually, a week ago Friday. Yeah. So no. I've been resting. I've not done it. So, but I just needed to
Good.
stretch first, and then that's what caused, I think, the injuries, just not getting enough stretch. So.
Man, you're so involved with you're involved with so many things, and I love that about you. You're such a dynamic woman.
Thank
And you
you.
have a passion for helping executives. And last time we went over the first 1 to 5 things that keep executives up at night, and I'm really excited to go into 6 to 10.
All right, well, let's get started. So, the number one or number six item for today is unclear vision or misalignment. You ask yourself, does everyone truly know where we're going or how we're going to get there? Are we aligned? Are we on the same page? It just seems like you have these goals that you've set out for your organization to go in one direction. But every time you turn around, people are over here and people are over there. And you're like, wait a minute, what am I missing? How come we're not all marching to the beat of the same drum? And that has a lot to do with our communication styles, how we communicate, and understand that communication isn't a one-way street. It's just not output, but it's also input, right? How the other person receives it. And being a good leader means understanding that there are different wavelengths or different levels at which people communicate and different styles of communication. Not everybody gets it all on the first try verbally. Not everybody gets it all reading. Some need to hear it, some need to say it, some need to read it, some need to write it. So you want to give as many communication channels as you can. And along with giving all that communication about the direction you're heading, what you need to do is walk your talk. You can't say, hey guys, we're going over here and it's for your betterment and you've got one foot in the door and one foot out. People see that. People watch you as leaders. So if you are worried about your vision and the misalignment, you first need to look inward. Has my communication been clear? Have I gotten multiple levels of communication and am I walking my talk? Okay, so that's an easy way to kind of see that. But a lot of times, misalignment is huge. Okay, the next one is conflict and team dysfunction. Not everybody sees things the same way. I don't have to like you as my coworker, but I should respect you and be professional. And I think a lot of times we get that misconstrued in the workplace, right? They're thinking to respect you and to treat you professionally means I like you. They're not synonymous. We're not here to be friends in a workplace, but we are here to be a team, to work together towards a common goal. And so a lot of times, we're stuck at, how do I address the tension? What about the politics? What about toxic behavior? My number one thing to say about that is you must address it. You cannot let it sit and fester. If you're aware of it for compliance reasons, for productivity reasons, for reputation reasons, for it's the right thing to do reasons, you have to address it. It's not always easy, but you must address it because you have people sitting in that, right? You want them to come to work and give you all of them, but yet they have this toxic supervisor, these toxic coworkers, or they have this so much drama and dysfunction in the workplace. The left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing, can't get any questions addressed, there's a bottleneck, whatever the case may be. You have to deal with the conflict and team dysfunction. And sometimes that means managing people up or managing people out. And sometimes that means giving better training for what we call soft skills. Soft skills are not the technical stuff, it's the emotional intelligence, team building, networking, and professional communication. That's how you deal with some of that. That's how you manage some of that, right? But I know people don't like conflict. And in today's world, you never know what's going to set someone off. So my advice is, even at the smallest hint of issue or problem or concern, it needs to be dealt with at that level, at the smallest level. Okay. Don't wait till it's a big, as my former boss used to say, tra-la-la. Don't wait till it's a big tra-la-la. You got to get ahead of it right in the beginning. Be as proactive as you can. Okay. Whether it, even if it's passive aggressiveness, right? So it doesn't have to be in your face. It could be subtle. It could be that passive aggressive thing. It could be the clicking in the workplace. You know, everybody has their clicks. It could be the introduction of the boss's favorite. Any of those things you have to get a, you have to get it a hold of, right? Because they all can just splinter a team. And if your team's not working
Absolutely.
cohesively, you're losing productivity, you're losing reputation, you're losing money, and you can set yourself for compliance issues.
Yeah, the toxic environment. People can feel that when you walk in a room, you
Oh,
know, and
it's a
if you don't
knife of
address it,
tension.
it festers and then everyone focuses on the wrong things in the workplace for sure.
Then there's burnout. Surprise, surprise, that's on the list, right? Theirs and yours. How do
Yeah.
you get people to produce at a high level, consistently and continuously, and not have them burn out? What are things that you can do as the leader of the organization or the department or the division to make sure that that burnout is less likely to occur? You have to start thinking about people like people and not really like machines, because we might get there one day, but we're not there yet, right? So how do you manage a workforce that you need to be highly productive and you don't want them to burn out? You have to start looking at how are they disengaged? Are they making a lot of mistakes? Is the turnover a lot? And then what things can we do? Break up the monotony, switch people's roles around, do some feel-good stuff. There's here in where I live in Jacksonville, Florida, there is a massage school. Now, these are students who are learning to be massage therapists, but they have to do externships, which means they put X amount of hours into massage, right? So one of
Right.
the things they love to do is to come to corporate events with their little chairs, and then you can get the chair massages. That gives them time, and they don't charge because
Wow.
they need those hours.
Can you
So
send
you
one of
need
those
to,
to Canada, please?
right? And there might be, you just don't know about it, right? But so
Yeah.
like they bring their little massage chairs and you lean over the thing and they and it's all feel good, right? But I'm saying things like that you can bring in just to kind of give people 2 minute, 5 minute massage or break in their day. Stop for a second and come up with something, I don't know, out of the blue, wacky and fun to do during the day. Doesn't always have to be it, you know how they talk about like the cat naps, right? The cat naps can give you a lot of energy, that burst of energy. What kind of things can we do throughout the day that's gonna disrupt the workforce for maybe 5, 10 minutes, but then at the end of the day, it's going to rejuvenate or regenerate that energy that was already there. That's for them. Now, what about you as a leader? What about you and your burnout? What are you doing on a daily basis? A daily basis, not weekly, but a daily basis that's helping to care for you. You cannot pour out of an empty cup. So what are you
Yeah.
doing to fill your cup? Are you taking time during a break to go for a walk around the parking lot? Right? Are you taking 5 minutes in your office and putting on that jazz music you like? Do you have those aromatherapy smell good things in your office? Are you allowed to have that? I have this little, it's a aromatherapy, it's a roll-on just to put on here. Get my lavender when I need to calm down, right? Like, what
Beauty.
can you do chair yoga? Right? There's that. Like, what can you do during your day that's going to take a few minutes? Can you call your favorite person? Can you look at cat videos on TikTok? Whatever it
Yeah.
is, it's going to give you that burst of just energy and allow you to be present for that moment. Do it because it's worth it. And even on the airplanes, they tell you to put your own mask on first.
Yeah.
We need leaders who are energetic, rested, clear-headed, focused to lead the organizations. And it doesn't always feel that way. And there are good days and bad days, but take the time to build for yourself because we can't have you burnt out either. Okay.
Absolutely. Yes, leaders need to be, leaders give a lot, but yeah, we need to fill our cups. They need to fill their cups so that they can pour from a full cup, not an empty
Exactly.
cup.
Exactly. And the next one is strategic execution gaps. So you have this plan, right? You have this big, wonderful 5-year strategic plan, and it has some big milestones in it. And it seems like we're hitting the milestones, but somewhere between the plan and the milestone, things are still falling out. Why is that? Why aren't our big goals translating into measurable results? Well, communication and not having all of the right tools at the table, not having all the resources. A lot of times in organizations are built in a way that I call a class system within the organization. You C-suite, then you're the executive suite, then you're the VP suite, then you're the director suite, then you're like, why? Who is the best person to give us the information to drive our organization forward, regardless of their title? Or which suite they fill in, or which level, who is the best person equipped to get us to this information? That's who needs to be at the table. And yes, sometimes it happens to be the C-suite, but it's not always the C-suite. Are you open enough to say, we don't know and we don't have all the answers? Let's find someone who does. You're sitting making decisions about what should happen on the very basic level of the organization, never having worked that basic level and not getting input from the people who work on that basic level. Make it make sense, because that doesn't. We're
Yeah.
sitting on high, making decisions about everyone else without including them in part of the conversation. Because I guarantee you, they're going to know what works and what doesn't work because they live in it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so that's where a lot of the execution gaps happen, because we don't have the right people at the table. You know, I'm always talking about bringing HR in. They're your strategic partner, but oftentimes they're left out of the table. They're left out of the conversation. They know how to turn your people into profits, but you don't put them in the conversation.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think they're not invited to the table?
Two major reasons, in my opinion. One is because the executives, frankly, don't know what all HR does.
Right.
They don't. And that's admitted. There's studies that show over 70% of them have no clue. And I guarantee you, and I know for a fact that most of them think it's just the hire fire, the paperwork.
Right.
And that's not all, right?
Right.
The other part of it is because they don't know what you do, they box you into that administrative paper role.
Right.
Right. So now, what that does for you is it doesn't give you the experience to be tactical or strategical. But because you don't have the experience to be that, and they don't understand that there is more to be that, why would they engage it in an organization? Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
You
that
don't know
makes
what you don't
sense.
know, right? But it's up to us as professionals and human talent management, HR, whatever you want to call it, it's up to us to say, yoo-hoo, I think I can help with that. Here are my thoughts based on my experience and my education and whatever, right? But I have that. Not all of us HR people do have that because they've been stuck in that administrative box.
Right.
It's
Yeah,
up
it
to
sounds
them
like
to
a
get upskilled, professional development, to go to conferences, take classes, get certification so they understand. So when the call comes, because eventually we hope you'll get a leader that says, wait a minute, why isn't HR here? And when they go knock on your door and say, come to the table, you're prepared, you're equipped to do so.
Right. I was just going to say, it sounds like the role needs to be clearly defined to the team, like there needs to be, this is what HR does. And then everything is laid out. Because you're right, when there's a gap in the communication and when it's not really understood, then it remains in abeyance and you can't maximize that area.
Right. And you're going to lose money and you're going to lose people and you're going to lose productivity and time because you don't
Yeah.
understand.
And their
And I feel
value
like
goes
this.
down. Their value.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Makes so much sense.
As leaders, we have a fiduciary responsibility to all of our stakeholders. So it's our job to know all these things. If I'm paying an HR leader, a chief human resource officer, a vice president of HR, a director, I better understand what I'm paying them for. What am I preparing them? I'm paying them to prepare for me, to produce. What's the outcomes? I should know that. And it's not just babysitting. There should be more to it than that. There should be expectations that there's going to be more than that. Okay.
Absolutely.
So, and then the last one is decision fatigue and isolation. Gosh, I'm tired. Someone else could just pick out the color of the drapes, right? Well, I've got to make all the, I'm the final decision maker. What if I get it wrong? And the stress of that. The stress as a leader of having an organization, let's say there's 200 employees, and the sink or swim of that is all on your shoulders.
Right.
That's a lot to carry.
That's a
Yeah, they
lot.
get good salaries, but that's still, as a person, especially if you care and are invested in your people and your organization, that's a lot to carry. And it can be isolating. Because you have to look at the bigger picture, whether other people understand it or not. They may not agree
Yeah.
with your decisions, but they're not looking at the big picture, and that's your job. And
Yeah.
unfortunately, there's not really a lot you can do about that one. There isn't.
Yeah.
There
Not
isn't.
everyone's
You
going to agree
can.
with what you do, right? But if you have
Right.
the big strategic picture, I mean, I guess you could say, is it up to that person to help them clearly define their decision, so everyone kind of understands where they're coming from, but at the same time, if that's their job to make the decision, are they supposed to, or do they have to? Is that, part of
So
the
I'm glad
job
you
to make
said
people
that
understand?
because here's what I say. Understanding and agreement are not the same thing. So as a
Yeah.
leader, if I or a parent or even a wife, I make a decision. I need you to understand the basis of my decision.
Right.
What I expect the outcome to be and how I expect to get there. You don't have to agree with it. I just need you to understand. And so it's my job to make sure you understand. And again, understanding and agreement are not the same thing. If I say we have to go down Interstate 70 to get to Kansas, and you say, no, I don't agree. I probably would take I-10 to this, to that. It doesn't matter. You understand the way we're going to get there, right? This is how we're doing it. You don't have to
Right.
agree to it. And that's important because a lot of people feel like you have to get folks to agree with you when you make a decision. You do not. Your job is to make the decision and then communicate for the purposes of understanding the direction in which you're going.
Right.
Buy-in comes from, I trust you, Yara, the leader. So if you say turn left, we're turning left. I
Yeah,
don't have to
even if there's
agree
a
with it.
million barricades, we're turning left.
Right. I don't have to agree with it, but I trust you as the leader. And that's where the
Yeah.
buy-in comes from, your ability to influence people. And that's going back to everything we've said. The walk your talk, the communicate effectively, to get people on your page, put the right people at the table. All of those things are important. Now, when it comes back again to the decision fatigue, explain your position, make sure folks understand, and then go with it, right? You can't be second guessing yourself every time. Another thing that some leaders can do is have an advisory board, de facto, right? People not really have a job. They don't really have a job as an advisory board, but there's just trusted advisors that you as a leader have around you. Ones that help empower you and encourage you when you're having those tough days. And these may be friends, people within the organization, or maybe people outside of the organization you can go to for counsel to say, hey, I'm having this tough decision. I'm going to have to make a decision on A or B, struggling. Here's my thoughts, be able to hash it out. But you have that trusted advisors who are going to keep your confidential information confidential, who have your best interest at heart, and who have the experience to be able to help you or guide you to that decision. And if you don't have anybody around you, you can get a executive leadership coach. That's just somebody that's there for you, one-on-one. Let's talk it through. Let's figure it out. Let's do the pro con list or whatever root cause analysis or decision making tree you want to use.
Yeah.
But that's going to help you make sure that whatever decision you make is well thought out and not based off emotion.
Right.
So yes, so as a leader, there are a lot of struggles. There is a lot of stress and a lot of weight on your shoulders. So to lead the organization at the most high level is not an easy task, and it's not for the faint at heart.
Oh my God, it's definitely not.
It's not for the faint at heart, right? So a lot of times people shoot for the stars, but they don't really understand what that means when you get there.
Yeah.
And people say, oh, it's lonely at the top. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be, because you don't have to isolate people all the way to the top. You don't have to burn bridges and step on people's heads to get there. It does not have to be lonely at the top. Surround yourself with people who have similar ideals and goals, people who are equipped through experience to pour into you like you pour into them, to give value for value. So it's not just a take thing. You cannot be the smartest person in the room. You cannot be. There has to be other people, because how will you grow? How will you stress? I mean, stretch. How can you stretch yourself for growth if you are the smartest person in the room every single time? But I will say this too, not being the smartest person in the room takes character. It takes vulnerability, right? Openness. You have to be honest and say, you know what? I just don't know. So where I thought I was doing it right and doing the right thing, I may be wrong. So tell me where I'm wrong. And you have to accept that feedback and be able to act on it. Not everybody can do that either.
Yeah, being
Especially.
100% coachable all the time, right? Just being
Right.
open and receptive, willing to learn, waking up telling yourself, there's so much power in knowing I know nothing at all.
Right. And then too, sometimes this is your baby. You started this department, this division, you invented this whatever. You started this company, right? And all the while thinking you're doing the right thing. And then somebody goes, if you just tweak this part, you could go here. If you
Right.
just do this different, and then your first response is to be defensive. It's easy to be defensive because it's your baby, but do you want your baby to stay a baby? Or do you want
Yeah.
some preschool and maybe some elementary school and maybe some, do you want to be empty nest at some point? Right? So there's, but it's tough. It's scary to some because you're doing something different that's unknown to you.
Yeah.
But we have to be, these are areas that's going to help us make those final decisions and feel more confident when we do it. We have to open ourselves up, get all the advice we can. I don't know if I share this with you. I am certified to teach EQI and EQI 360 assessments. So that's emotional intelligence assessments. And what's
Okay.
really cool about these, especially the 360, is you are going to rate yourself first on how you make decisions and what aspect of emotion, if any, has to do with your decision making. Like, are you assertive? Are you confident? Do you have problems making decisions? Do you make them quickly? Do you need approval before you make decisions? Do you, those kind of things, right? And so what it does is say, what do I think? How do I rate myself on these things? And then you'll find out kind of like, how emotion really does play into your decision making. And let's say you're super confident, or you rate high on being super confident. Well, you're super confident can cause your communication to be low.
Right.
Because if you're super confident, chances are you're coming off as arrogant. People don't really want to talk to you that much. So it's going to show like I don't have really good communication skills. So one offsets the other. There's no right or wrong, but you got to kind of have this harmony. I'm never going to say balance. I'm going to say harmony, right? So then, if you do a 360, what that means is your direct reports rate you, your peers rate you, and then your supervisor, whoever you report to, rates you. So now you rated yourself. You get to see how you think things are compared to those around you. Where do you
Wow.
actually fare? How realistic are you being? I make all the great decisions. I do it quickly. I don't have any problem. Everybody loves me, blah, blah. And then you get these numbers, and you're like, wait a second.
Yeah, what's
Where did
going
I
on?
go wrong?
Oh,
How could they
interesting. I love
possibly
that.
think that I'm not empathetic?
Right.
I go out of my way to be empathetic. How could they think that? How
Yeah,
could they
people
think I
don't.
have problems with
What we're
making
telling ourselves
decisions?
in here. Yeah, exactly. We don't know what people are thinking.
Right. So this gives you a way, a tangible way of saying, wow, this is how I'm seeing. This is what I thought. This is what's real. And here are some things that I can do to mitigate some of this. And that
Oh, I
helps
love that.
build trust, but that also helps you work on yourself to have more influence over others because you really do understand and see them the way that you should because you're not making emotional decisions.
Right.
You know, your
Amazing.
eyes are wide
People
open.
find that on your website to book you for those?
Yes, on our website. Actually, do I have it on there? I just recently got certified. I've been doing assessments, but I wanted to get certified in that one. They can reach out to us on our contact page, bnxba.com, and then they can specify they want to talk about the assessments. And absolutely, we can get those done. And we do them for the leaders. We also have one we can do for the entire team. We can
Okay.
also do one if someone's in education. So it's team, group, and education, and then individuals.
Oh,
Yes,
that's
ma'am.
so interesting. I love that. Just, yeah, making sure you get the points from everybody. Because, like I said, we have this very limited vision of ourselves, and we could have the best intentions, and we could think all the things we're doing is the right decision, but until you get feedback, there's zero growth. It's just hard. You can't grow without feedback from your people.
And take it, be able to take it and apply what's worth it. Like you consider the source. Well, this one will be anonymous. You won't know who did what, but you want to consider how applicable it is to your life. So I had an issue one time when I was working at a place, I don't want to say where, but I was working at a place and I would always go down to a certain office, drop off paperwork on my way to somewhere else. Well, that person who I dropped off the paperwork with told my secretary that she thought I was quite rude. And I didn't understand why was I rude? Like, how could I be rude? And then so when my secretary brought it back to me, I was like, okay, so what am I doing to be rude? So first of all, I
Right.
wasn't chit-chatting. So that was part of the problem. I would say good morning, hand over the documents, and go to wherever I was going. So part of the problem was I wasn't chit-chatting. So that made me rude. So they saw me as short because I was just
Interesting.
like, good morning, here's the paper. Okay, great, thank you. And I was out. That made so in that person's mind, I was rude because I didn't chit-chat.
Right.
That person later on told my secretary something else that I did. And I was like, you know, why don't you just call her up here so I can talk to her? Because I
Yeah.
really need to understand like where are we going wrong?
Yeah.
And this was a lady at that point was probably twice my age at that point. So I didn't know, like really, I'm going out of my way. I felt to be respectful. So like, wow, like what? So we brought her up and we talked to her. Come to find out, part of her problem with me is that when I do talk, I talk fast, like swiftly.
Okay.
So if you think about the little thing behind fast talkers, right? Or people that folks don't trust because you're trying to be slick, you're trying to get something over. So I talk too swiftly. So that was a problem for her. So she didn't trust me because of that. And I didn't chit chat. And there was something else that was something that's like so benign that like, really, you don't like me because I don't do these things, or you feel that I don't like you because of that? Like,
Right.
we have to keep in mind that at that one particular day, I was heading off to go do a presentation in front of 300 and some odd people. My mind is drop this paper off. Go over your keynote. Go over your keynote. Make sure you're not forgetting anything. That's where I'm at. We can't take everything personal,
Yeah.
right? So, but once I talked with her about it and she explained her point of view and I explained my point of view, I'm like, we just both have to learn not to take stuff personally. When I
Right.
said both, I really meant her because I didn't take anything personally, but like not to take it personally. It's not about you, right? It's your desk happens to be the one that catches the paperwork.
Right.
Nothing I can do about that. You know what I mean? So we just have to realize that communication's two ways. It's not always how we put it out, but how someone receives it. And obviously, after having this conversation, every time I went down there, I made sure to intentionally stop. How are you? How was your
Right.
day? You know, whatever I had to do to do the little chit chat, I felt like in my mind, I literally was like, okay, is the box checked? Okay, I can go now. Right? I didn't put it out that way, but that's just how I felt because I wanted her to feel, not feel however she felt. This is what I needed to do to get through to her whatever she needed to get from the conversation. And so
Absolutely.
that's stuff we have to do sometimes as leaders, is we just have to figure out how do I get it through? How do I relate to someone, even if it's not the way I would want to be approached or dealt with, but that particular person needs that. You don't ever want anybody to feel bad after interaction with you. And so that's how I felt bad, because she felt some kind of way about it. So I was like, yeah, I gotta fix this because it's not okay with me.
Right.
Yeah.
Gosh, Yara, there's so many things that could keep executives up at night. You just keep laying them out.
Right. And it's and some of them do get kept up by these things and some of them don't. But I think that these are definitely things that most leaders have at least weighed them down at some point. At least weighed them down at some point. I'd be
Wow.
happy to talk to any of your audience about some of these things or anything else for that matter. I'm really about trying to figure out how we can turn the people into profit, how we can make data driven decisions without wearing ourselves out for the purpose of growing the organization from within. And I think that that's the bottom line.
Beautiful. Well, you know, thanks for talking about all this stuff. I think you literally connected with executives that watch this show, and they're like, yes. Like, this is happening in my mind and this is happening in my life. And to be able to strategize and have tools for that is so helpful and so important. And I think one of the big things that you said is, you know, leaders need leaders, and those leaders need leaders, and we all need someone leading us, no matter who we are, you know. And I also love what you said about it doesn't have to be lonely at the top. That is the number one thing I'm reading right now, is people who have they're on top of the umbrella and they have a large group, they feel isolated, alone, and lonely. That doesn't have to be the case.
It doesn't. It does not. You are not
Gosh.
alone. You're not alone in life. So you're not alone at the top. It's just how you do it. How did you get there? And did you do it the right way? Meaning, no backbiting and undercutting and all that kind of stuff. But you did it, like, legitimately earned your way to the top. Then you should have people who have been supporting your ascension the entire time.
I love that. Gosh, thanks so much for being here today and for talking about all this stuff.
I appreciate it. You guys can find me on all social media. BNXBA, BNX Business Advisors, this is my website, bnxba.com. We're happy to talk to you about the assessments, about any of the things keeping you up at night. We're happy to introduce leadership development training to your organization or any other organizational or HR infrastructure, information that you need. We're here for you.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And to our audience, thank you for tuning in. You just heard from Yara Banks. Again, she's got a podcast on our channel, and she is so knowledgeable when it comes to this stuff. You want to go back and listen to her former episodes. We will link her information in the show notes for you so you can find her easily. But yeah, think about it. What's keeping you up at night? Are you at the top? Are you a leader? What is keeping you up at night? Go back to the last episode and re-listen to this one, because there were some really, really amazing tips on how to sleep better as an executive. Until next time, I'm Lisa Urbanski with The Advisor. Have a good week, everyone. Oh, and happy July 4th.
Yes.